Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm sure that most of us in here today have had children. And with having children, you get them where they come up and they bug you and they want something. And they keep bugging you and bugging you. I want it, I want it, I want it. And they keep on doing it. Their hope is that they're going to get you to the point. It's like, okay, okay. And they give it to you, right? That's their hope. Sometimes that might not work the way they wanted it to. But that's what they are hoping for. If I bug mom, if I bug dad, if I bug grandma or grandpa enough, they'll give in. We have this lady, Jesus. First off, he went to present-day Lebanon, away from Israel, away from Judah, away from Galilee. He went up to the land where the Philistines were from. He went up to Tyre and Sidon. That's where a bunch of Gentiles lived, non-Israelites, non-Jewish people. And he went there, that's unusual, to kind of to get away from people that were after him and stuff like that, probably for a little peace of mind. And all of a sudden, this Canaanite woman, a Gentile woman, comes up to him. And it says here, she came out and was crying. English sometimes doesn't convey really good on what's happening. She came here and she began crying and she kept on crying. She kept on and on and on. Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. It almost sounds like Jesus was either being really insolent or just plain rude. He doesn't answer her at all. And she keeps on and on. And the disciples, well, Jesus doesn't say anything. The disciples are just like, they start going to Jesus. And again, it just says his disciples came and begged him, saying, well, they said and kept on saying. So you got her sitting there begging, begging, begging. And the disciples are saying, send her away, send her away, send her away. And you just got this cacophony going on. And what do the disciples want? Send her away, for she is crying out after us. And they kept it going. So the disciples are probably thinking of a couple things. Go ahead and heal her and let her get on her way. Isn't that how it usually works? Someone comes to you, you heal them, and then you say, go in peace, don't sin no more, or something to that effect. But you're not saying anything, and she's bugging us. She's like a little kid bugging us. And, of course, the disciples are like a little kid's children bugging Jesus now. Send her away. Especially since she was a Gentile. You know, let's just get rid of her. Hi, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. How do you feel if somebody comes up to you and starts asking you, why do you go to that church? Why do you believe in Jesus? Why? You know how little kids can say why all the time? You give an answer, why? You give another answer, why? But why? But why? And sometimes do you get tired of it? Or maybe may think that your children get tired of you bugging them or your friends. How come you haven't been coming to church? How come? What's keeping you from church? We'd love to see you in church. We love to have you spending time with Jesus. And yet, they might get tired of it. So maybe if you bug them enough, they'll come just to shut you up. But maybe once here, things will work out well. It's so easy just to not go out and reach out to others and not to talk to them, not to bug them about Jesus and your faith. Who wants to be known as a bug? Who wants to be known as, oh, here that person comes again. He's going to be telling me about Jesus. But keep on planting the seed, because you never know what's going to happen. This professor who was at Concordia Seward when I was there, he had become a Jehovah's Witness. And he started going, he was going to people's houses, and he knocked on their door, and they go, oh, come on in, let me tell you about Jesus. Oh, come in, let me tell you about Jesus. And enough people started doing it that he and his wife, man, I bug so much, I'm going to go ahead and go to a church. And now he's a professor, I believe he's in Wisconsin now, of a Lutheran college, a science professor. He's now a Lutheran, a Christian, because people bugged him and kept on bugging him. Do you have anything going on in your life that, oh, I just don't know if I want to tell God about it, tell Jesus about it? Is there anything going on in your life? Well, maybe a sin that you committed that you think, oh, no way he could forgive me. I tell you what, all of us have sinned and we continue to sin. Sins that deserve nothing but eternal death and damnation. Does that mean we just hang our heads and say, oh, I'm a sinner, I'm doomed. There's no way God could forgive me. But yes, he can. And he wants you to come and bug him. Please forgive me my sins. Or you have an issue. He doesn't need to hear about me. I'm just a small. He wants you to keep on bugging him about this prayer without ceasing. He wants you to come to him with everything, no matter the time. He doesn't sleep. No matter the day of the week, doesn't just have to be on Sunday. No matter where you're at, you don't have to come here to the church to speak to Jesus, to speak to God. You could be anywhere, driving your car, just as long as you pay attention to what you're doing when you're driving. But you could be anywhere. You could be in the grocery store. You could be in the bar. I need to talk to Jesus about my life. You could be doing anything. He wants to hear from you at all times. It doesn't bother him for you to keep on bugging him and coming to him in prayer, letting you know how you are doing, how you are feeling, good or bad. He wants to hear from you. Then Jesus says, after the disciples start bugging him, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Genesis 3, when God made the promise to Adam and Eve after they disobeyed and sinned, that an offspring of Eve would crush Satan's head, he meant for all people. When God told Abraham, I will make you a father of all nations, at that time Israel didn't even exist, all nations, and he meant all nations. But here he says he was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel, and that's whom he was sent to, the Israelites first. And that's why when Paul would go on his journey to the Jewish people, when he would go on his missionary journeys, where was the first place Paul would go? To the synagogue, to the Jewish people. And then when they throw him out, then he would talk to the Gentiles. Yes, he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. But she came and knelt before him saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, and this sounds really bad. "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." The children's bread. Bread meant for the Israelites. Give it to the Gentiles. And she said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Any of you have dogs? I know whenever we eat whatever, our dog's right there. And the grandchildren are there. He's where they are because he knows he might probably get more dropping. But if not there, he's with under mine because I drop more than Sally does. Oh, I get to eat the crumbs. I get to eat the crumbs. Yes. But your grace is so abundant, Lord. Your grace is so abundant, Lord, that there's enough grace for everyone. Not just the Jewish people, not just the Israelites, but for all people. Your grace is enough. And God's grace is enough. It's even enough for us. His grace abounds for all people. He died for all people. He suffered and died not just for us, not just for Christians. He died for all people of all time when he died. His grace is sufficient, is enough. Can you imagine that Jesus' grace, when he hung on that cross and suffered and died for our sins, it was enough. It was sufficient. It was so abundant. It covers all people. And she says that, "Lord, just a little bit of your grace is enough for me, because your grace isn't just a little bit, it's a lot." And he says, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. So why was Jesus being so quiet at first? Why was he doing just, it was so easy for him with the paralytic. They lower the paralytic down onto the mat. And Jesus said, "Pick up your mat and walk." You know, and then he said, when they questioned him, "What was easier for me to do? Say, pick up your mat and walk, or your sins are forgiven?" And I might have that backwards. But anyway, it was pretty instant. But here, he makes her wait. Of course, he knows that her daughter's going to be healed. Who was he teaching the lesson to? Was he teaching the lesson? Was he checking out the women to make sure she had enough faith? I don't know. Was she testing the disciples? Or was he using this as a teaching tool for the disciples? Is he testing us, or is he using this as a teaching tool for us? And I believe this happened as a teaching tool for all people to show that his grace is enough of all time to even cover up my sins and your sins, no matter how small or big, because there's no such thing as small. All sins are big, but his grace covers them all up. And he says to you, "Great is your faith. the faith that has been given to you in your baptism. You are healed. You are cleansed of your sins through me. That's what Jesus spoke to you and to me on the cross. Don't ever worry about bugging God too much. He wants you to. And in the way that he leads each person, he wants us to bug our families and our neighbors. Those who might not believe, or those who might be wavering. Pray that he helps you in doing so. Because no one in the mind of God is someone who doesn't deserve to be saved. There's enough crumbs for everyone. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.